B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've gone through the blown saves, and I know we've had a number of them, but really it hasn't cost us as many games as what you would think during out the year. Our bullpen has basically been fine.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz. Got a hit on this. Again, it happened late yesterday, or happened during the middle of the day yesterday. Dan Shaughnessy, The Globe, posted a column that said he'd be shocked if Dave Dombrowski is back. Included a little anecdote about how Dombrowski has isolated himself from people in the organization, that the only ones that he really sort of spends any time with are Frank Wren and Tony La Russa, who are Dombrowski confidants. And remember, Dombrowski was brought in here to an organization that had all Theo Epstein guys, right? And Ben Cherington was obviously the GM before, but he's a Theo disciple in a lot of ways, Cherington was. And so there was this whole culture here that Dombrowski was dropped into. So Dombrowski wanted some of his own guys. He got Wren. He ultimately got La Russa. And now he's spending time with just those people. Okay? So Shaughnessy wrote that yesterday. We had him on the program last night because, just to clarify, it was a column. We asked Shaughnessy specifically about it being a column or a news story. Here's what he said last night.
It is just my opinion, as you see there. It says I'd be shocked if he's here next year, and that's the way I feel, and it's informed opinion, I believe, and I think that the shine's off the apple a little bit there. And I think that if you read carefully, you know, him not having many friends inside the walls of Fenway, that should tell you something.
So, Murray, you don't think there's any question. You think that Dombrowski's out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this thing has really picked up steam since Dan put this out there. He kind of referred to it as informed speculation last night, based on what he wrote. But now you've had others that cover the team essentially saying, you know, when they're asked, oh, so do you think he'll be out? It's like, oh, yeah, no, he's gone. John Tomasi on NBC Sports Boston last night, post game, said the same thing. Like, he's asked point blank, oh, do you think he'll be out? Oh, yeah, no. It's like, this just feels like this is a formality at this point.
And what do you make of Dombrowski's comments pregame on Nesson pregame?
So
right there, our bullpen basically has been fine. That's what he said.
I don't know.
Our bullpen has basically been fine.
I don't know if it's defiant.
It's unbelievable.
This is the reason I call him a used car salesman. Like, he's always consistently full of it, and he just can't help himself. I don't think there's really anything truly behind it more than that. He's just kind of an a-hole like that. Like, he tries to polish every single turd that he puts out there.
I mean, I'll tell you what, in that, I think he did like a 6-minute interview. It was a 6-minute interview on Nesson pregame.
He's a weekly on Nesson.
Okay,
with Tom Karen.
He does do it weekly. So I heard this. I wondered, but I also, I'll tell you what, I heard a couple of things last night.
Well,
for example, there were a couple of people sitting in his box that don't usually sit there, or at least aren't as visible. And they were sort of newer Red Sox executives than old ones. In other words, I think like Dombrowski actually sat there yesterday when the Shaughnessy story came out and said, oh, I'm holed up with Frank Wren and I'm holed up with Tony La Russa. I'm going to make sure I sit with other people in the box.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I thought you were alluding to like muscle, like it was like Moose and Rocco sitting next to him or something.
No, yeah, his bouncers. Yeah, no. That he wanted to make it clear, no, I'm not on the outside looking in. I got these people here sitting with me. And the reality is, I think he's lost people. I'm not sure Dombrowski was ever really welcomed into the organization in the first place. Frankly, when you get right down to it, think of it. The culture that John Henry built, Theo Epstein, young executives turning over from Dan Duquette, this whole new age idea.
Nerds. He had a lot of nerds.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right? It was the new modern executive. Theo left. Who did they hire? Ben Cherington and Jed Hoyer, effectively Theo disciples. Cherington was here before Theo, but a modern young baseball executive. Hired those guys in just a continuation of new age management. Then that thing went south. And Henry went completely in the opposite direction. And he brought in Dombrowski, who you like to call a used car salesman. And he comes in with his turtlenecks and his perfect hair, thumbing his nose at everybody with his resume, even though he'd only won one championship back in 1997. I think he hit people over the head with it. He did it again last night. He can't conduct a press conference without mentioning his resume and how long he's been around or who he hangs out with. Bobby Cox, Jim Leland. I've been around some great managers. Tony La Russa, he's got to hit you over the head with that every freaking time. Can you imagine what it's like to work with this guy?
Oh, he's got to be insufferable. He's insufferable during his press conferences every single time. He always tries to hold himself like he's the smartest guy in the room. It's going to drive people crazy.
Oh, it's absolutely insane. And Jimmy, I'll tell you what, if we could pull that one cut, I think it is Dombrowski 3. Okay, he was talking about the trade deadline, but again, listen to what he says at the beginning of it about whether the deadline can impact a team's psyche or, you know, mentality going into the second half after the deadline. Can it take the air out of the balloon? Listen how he begins it.
Well,
really, I've been through this how many trading deadlines? 31 as a general manager, and I've never really had an effect in a negative basis whatsoever.
Can we stop
now,
there?
I understand.
He's got to tell you he's been through 31 trading deadlines, yeah. Right? I got to let you know. No, no, no. You don't know what you're talking about. No, no, no. Our bullpen is fine. The other thing in that interview last night is he talked about their starting rotation. Well, you know, our team is built around its starting rotation. When we get six innings, look at our record. You know what he's doing there? Alibi. Don't blame me. I got good pitchers. The bullpen's fine. You guys talk about the bullpen. There's no issue with the bullpen. We have good starting pitchers. That's how we built our team. We built our team around starting pitching. So he just sat there in that interview. I felt like the whole thing was Dave Dombrowski giving his side of it in the wake of the Shaughnessy report. I felt like the whole thing was, let me justify how we got here, how I built it, because this isn't my fault. People keep talking about the bullpen. The bullpen's fine. Our bullpen's basically fine. How did he say it again, Jimmy? Our bullpen basically is fine.
Our bullpen has basically been fine.
What a load of crap. Holy smokes. Does anyone honestly believe that bullpen is fine?
No.
What a load of garbage that is.
I didn't think he could top himself after, though. You wouldn't believe how many people have called about our bullpen last week after the trade deadline. This might be his all-time finest work. I mean, what a crook.
I'll tell you, I have a million questions about what's going on over there. Because after that Shaughnessy report, you start looking at it when a team collapses like they're collapsing. There's got to be something wrong. Not just an evaluation thing or we built the wrong team or it was a hangover.
No, it's a real disconnect.
There's something in there, Murray. There's something on the interior there that is wrong. Okay, and I think we may be starting to get some clues as to what it might be. But man, the Dombrowski constantly, talk about the spin master. He'll say anything to get you to believe it. Anything. That's just complete garbage. John's in Winthrop. Go ahead, John.
Look, you're spelling Dombrowski's name wrong. It's D-U-M-B.
Oh.
He blew up that bullpen with a hydrogen bomb at the end of the season. Yeah, we couldn't sign the closer, or we couldn't sign the setup man. All the money went to other players.
Oh, but John, they're built around starting pitching. Don't you know that?
Yeah, well, the problem is you can't get out of the fifth inning with the starting pitches.
Yeah, John, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. I mean, this is Dombrowski's way of deflecting the blame. No, 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 no. People say we spent a lot of money. It's on Chris Sale. It's on Rick Porcello. It's on David Price.
To be fair, and trust me, he was ridiculous last night. The bullpen is not fine, and nobody believes it was fine. And his first major offense of this year was not building a bullpen. But the starting rotation has sucked out loud. I mean, they have been dreadful. David Price was good for a while. Eduardo Rodriguez seems to be, I guess, the ace of this particular staff. But Chris Sale is dreadful. David Price is now dreadful. I mean, this guy that they got from Baltimore, he will win his next start, by the way, because he wins every third start. He's horrible. Rick Porcello should have been dead. I mean, the whole thing from top to bottom, and whoever has run in and out of the fifth spot, they have been horrible from top to bottom. It is made worse, though, when to maybe what the caller was saying, when your starting pitchers only make it till the fourth inning, then it really exposes exactly how bad the bullpen Dave Dombrowski built.
Okay,
if he had taken any time, any effort, anything whatsoever in building the bullpen, maybe he could have actually hidden how bad the starting rotation is.
Okay, but Marshall, it's one thing to sit there and say our team's built around our starters. But when you say it in the wake of our bullpen basically has been fine, wow, boy, is that a load of crap. First of all, he pointed the finger directly at his rotation. Last week it was the clubhouse as a whole. Now it's directly at his rotation. It's the starters and nobody else. Okay, that so he takes himself completely off the hook. Had he said our pitching staff has been a problem this year, we haven't been able to get through it, or, you know, figure it out. I don't know. Maybe he feels like he's throwing Lavangie under the bus. But if he wants to talk about the fact that the starting rotation is bad, fine. We all agree on that. Our bullpen basically has been fine.
I mean, let's be fair. I'm the one who screenshotted that and sent it to everyone with red question marks all over it. So it's not as though I'm letting Dave Dombrowski off the hook by any means. But there is a point to be made that his starting rotation also sucks. And by the way, he gave Chris Sale a big fat extension as part of that rotation.
Wow, what a load of garbage. Talk about just damaging your own credibility. No, but he can sell you a 78 Chevy or whatever the hell you want to buy. Just ask Murray.
Yeah.
Freaking used car salesman. Holy crap, does this guy spew garbage?
No, you don't want to buy a brand new Mustang. This 1998 Mercury Capri, this is what you want to buy.
I've got a nice topaz over here with your name on it.
Now, look, again, I don't think Dave Dombrowski's a horrible executive. I don't.
No, he's just an ass clown.
I think he's wildly overrated. Wildly overrated. And you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe there were some hints right around the trading deadline that things weren't exactly great on the good ship Lollipop, and I'm talking about on the inside. We'll explain when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk world down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1-0 and a high fly ball into left center field.
Oh, no.
That one traveling deep again, and that ball is gone. Ooh. Soler, for the second time in the ball game, has cranked a two-run homer. And he has 31 for the season. And Kansas City has jumped in front, and Taylor can't get started quickly enough. Jumped in front 6-1.
So Murray made this point yesterday. You know they're behind the Texas Rangers now, Murray.
By one percentage point, right?
Yep, 5.18 win percentage for Texas, 5.17 for the Red Sox.
I saw that this morning. Brutal.
6.5 out in the wild card race, 7 in the loss column. Red Sox lose to the Royals last night, and honestly, I couldn't give a rat's ass that they lost the game. I couldn't give a rat's ass. The only reason we played that highlight, frankly, is because Andrew Cashner was on the mound, sucked again.
The savior.
So what have they lost now? 4 out of 5 that he's pitched?
Yeah.
Okay, 4 out of 5 that he's pitched. Like, Cashner's been brutal, and he's worth mentioning now only because he's the only trade deadline acquisition that Dave Dombrowski made. Andrew Cashner's the only one. And that was a couple of weeks before. And again, stunningly, the Red Sox could only make that deal if the Orioles picked up some of the money. That's how bad Andrew Cashner sucks.
1-4 with a 7.53 ERA since joining the Red Sox. That's Andrew Cashner.
The Red Sox said, we'll take Cashner. We'll give you a couple of guys in the Dominican Summer League, 17-year-olds. Really, like, you know, again, I can't remember prospects that age at that level ever being traded for anything that low. I mean, singularly those, you know, maybe those guys are throw-in stuff like that, but singularly never. And the team that's getting them has to eat money. That should tell you plenty about what Andrew Cashner is. So that's the only move they made. And everyone says, well, you know, they got to the deadline and they decided as a management and ownership, I said, they got to the deadline as management ownership and said, no more. We're not helping out the clubhouse anymore. And I'm wondering whether that really is what happened. So if you don't remember, the Sunday before the trading deadline, the Yankees were in here. That was the night Chris Sale pitched at home and they lost.
Yep.
Okay. Alex Rodriguez and Jessica Mendoza, the ESPN crew is here along with Matt Vaskirjan, and they had a conversation during the game about what Alex Cora was indicating to them about the trading deadline. Remember this? Here's what it was.
We asked Alex Cora kind of point blank when we met with him today about any plans he might want to share with us about acquisitions at the deadline, and of course he wasn't going to give us anything. He did give us a pretty big smile, though, Buster. Any idea what he was processing in his brain?
Yeah, and he and others in the organization seem to be really confident that they can add some kind of an impact move. And what I'm going to suggest now is pure speculation on my part. I can't tell you for sure if this is happening. There's no doubt that the Mets now, with a series of moves, of course, you've got Marcus Stroman being traded. They've been talking to other teams about Noah Syndergaard, and they've also been talking with other teams about Edwin Diaz, who would be a great fit for the Red Sox for a number of reasons. Obviously, they need bullpen help. He could pitch at the back end. Alex knows him well, put him on the WBC team in Puerto Rico, and he's really cheap in salary, and the Red Sox owners are trying to keep their payroll under a luxury tax threshold.
So, looking back, Cora, it feels like, thought that they were getting something at the deadline.
Cora says all this with a smile. Yeah, it felt like he was just waiting for the present to be opened.
Then the deadline comes and nothing happens. So this makes me wonder about the relationship between Dombrowski and Cora. And Shaughnessy mentioned Eddie Romero as the likely candidate to replace Dombrowski as GM, if and when it comes to that. Eddie Romero and Cora, from what I'm told, have a very good relationship. They get along well together. And I think that that relationship, I've said this in the past, the relationship between a GM and the manager might be the most important relationship in any organization. You know, and I would say the same thing in hockey or basketball, the GM and the coach, right? Like, that's a big one. If they are butting heads and they're not communicating and they're not on the same page, it's a disaster waiting to happen. So I'm wondering, maybe the relationship with Cora has gone downhill too. Maybe that's out. Maybe Cora thought they were getting something at the deadline. They weren't. Maybe Dombrowski deceived Cora. Like, I have a hard time. I don't think Cora was ever Dombrowski's guy. That felt like a Henry pick to me.
Yeah, did to me too.
I mean, Marshall, I don't know. Do you feel like Dave Dombrowski ever would have picked Alex Cora on
no,
his own?
No, absolutely not. He would have wanted one of these retread guys who's already had three manager jobs and who's been around the 31 years that Dave Dombrowski's been around, not a young guy who was a player a handful of years ago. Absolutely not. And you know what? If you're Alex Cora, why are you not annoyed? Like, you go into the year and Dave Dombrowski did nothing to help my team, particularly my bullpen. That's all two big arms leave, and you did nothing to replace it. And here there's a lot of talk and chatter about you're finally going to fix that. You're finally going to help me. No, you're not. You're not. So now I'm going to get the blame for this crap-ass team that you've given me. Yeah, I think he's a little bit annoyed. No, I don't think that he and Dave Dombrowski are probably hanging out drinking coffee together.
I just wonder, because anytime something like this happens, there's usually some sort of internal fracture.
I mean, look at the guys he brought in. He brought in Tony La Russa to hang out. Were you telling me that Dave Dombrowski wouldn't have rather made Tony La Russa his manager? Like, that's the exact guy that Dave Dombrowski would have wanted to give that job to.
Old, crusty baseball guy, because that's ultimately what Dombrowski kind of is.
Jack McKeon is still out there someplace. Maybe you can get him.
Totally. Tony's in Holbrook. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show. Hey, Matt, quick question. What would the Red Sox have to give up to get Theo back in management?
Okay, so I touched on this last night. Would you guys make a run at Theo? Marshall, would you do it? I know Murray said he would.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Sure. At what price am I going to give up a real legitimate player for him? I don't know about that. And I also wonder if that's even a realistic thing. Like, why would the Cubs be in any mood to do that? Unless they got something of real value.
Well, the only way they'd be in a mood to do it is if Theo said to him, I want out.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, if Theo wants to do the same thing to the Cubs and screw him the way he did the Red Sox, then by all means, get it done.
I mean, so, because Marshall's right. People forget this. Theo's deal wasn't up when he went to the Cubs. Jimmy Stewart pointed this out yesterday. I had forgotten it. That was a trade. That was a trade.
And it was a trade where the team let him go before they did the trade. They're like, oh, yeah, you'll go. We'll work something out. And they effectively ended up dealing with Theo on the deal for him to go work for the Cubs when he was already working for the Cubs. So there was zero leverage.
Do you remember on that?
Zero leverage.
Do you remember on that?
Yeah, well, Jimmy brought it up yesterday.
Do you remember who they got?
Hold on. Jimmy Stewart, you said it yesterday. I had forgotten. Go ahead.
Some relief pitcher named Chris Carpenter.
Chris Carpenter. who never saw the light of day.
There are also two other players involved in that deal, too, who you wouldn't know their names.
Well, I could tell you because someone texted it to me yesterday, but I don't want to look it up.
I Googled it.
Oh, you did? Yeah, it's a stiff you never heard of.
I can tell you it worked out well for Chris Carpenter because he came here. He met Channel 7 anchor Sarah French. They're now married. They have two kids. They moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, where he's a financial analyst.
Huh. Ooh.
Probably making a hell of a lot more money doing that than he ever would have made pitching. Because from what I gather, he sucked, with all due respect to Mrs. French, or whatever her name was. You know, he clearly wasn't very good. Now, Theo only had 1 year left on his deal at that point in time, right? So in this case, there's 2 years left. I told you yesterday, this pissed people off, apparently. But if you're going to lose Mookie, and you could get Theo for Mookie, Murray, would you do it?
I absolutely would.
Marsha, would you?
No, because I think you can get a lot more than Theo Epstein for Mookie Betts.
Okay, I would do it. I would do it. It'll never come to that because he shouldn't have to give up that much. But if you're telling me they would guarantee that I get Theo back, Theo will rebuild your farm system, and Theo will make you a more consistent team than you've been in a long time.
Are we sure about that?
Yes.
I ask because when he was building it here, the rules were different in that he got player compensation for players that were exiting out. So he would end up with two picks in the first round and two between the first and second rounds.
Sure.
And the rules have changed.
Okay, so list for me the top three GMs in the game and who you would where you'd put Theo and Dombrowski.
Oh, Theo's number one and Dombrowski's maybe 20th.
Okay, so I don't know about 20th, but he's not in the top five, right? For sure. And in fact, it's one of the reasons why when we asked, does Dave Dombrowski deserve to get fired? I hemmed and hawed yesterday. I'm going to finally give you an answer when we come back. Marshall's get your headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This past week is the first time in 4 years we've lost more than four games in a row. So I know that people in general think that the world has come to an end with that, but a lot of clubs lose a lot of games in a row at times. We have not because we've had good clubs.
Hey, that's Dave Dombrowski on the pregame show last night on Nesson. Let me just tell you up front.
F that guy.
Hold on, Marshall. I'll get to you in a second. The final 2 hours of the program today are going to be largely about Tom Brady. Okay, that Tom Curran podcast last night I thought was fascinating stuff. So we're going to get back to that. If you want to talk Red Sox, now's your chance to do it. 617-779-0985. And then obviously we'll do it again on the Baseball Reporters, myself and Marshall, at 6 o'clock. But after the next several minutes, we'll be Tom Brady wall-to-wall in the final 2 hours. Okay, so you heard Dombrowski there. Trying to explain away the 8-game losing streak. Go ahead, Marshall. Go.
I mean, come on. Who the hell is he to tell us that we shouldn't care the fact that they just lost 8 of the most important games of the entire season? Like, this 14-game stretch, that was your season. That was your chance at the playoffs. That was it. Everyone could look at the schedule ahead of that 2 months ago and say, hey, you know what? Maybe these games matter a little bit more than the other ones. And you lost all, like, 8 of them in a row, and you sucked. You just sucked completely for that entire series. And his response is, well, we didn't do it last year. We haven't lost that many games in years. That's like Dan Duquette saying we had more days in first place than anyone else. It is such a D-bag, arrogant, look down at your nose, you meaningless little fan. You don't understand the game of baseball the way I understand the game of baseball. Me, I look at it and say, well, I know that wins are wins and losses are losses, and you piled up a lot of losses against teams you couldn't afford to lose to, Dave. So tell me, what exactly am I missing? What exactly am I not giving you credit for because you went out and lost 8 games, you arrogant ass? Sorry.
Murray, you have anything to add?
No, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, the guy is, he really is. Like, he can't possibly truly believe what he's saying half the time. Things like that, please.
You know what Dave Dombrowski did on Nesson last night, really? He just pulled off his pants and pleasured himself there for however many minutes he was on there. That's really what he did. You know why I said we haven't lost four in a row in the last 4 years? Why would he pick 4 years? Oh, right. That's how long he's been GM. During his tenure, that's what he's saying. Overall, I've done a good job here. Overall, I've done a good job. It's the first time this has happened in 4 years. Boy, you people are spoiled. Boy, you're spoiled. That's really what it is. Interesting that he would pick that time frame. First time, lots of people lose four games in a row, more than four. That happens everywhere. Just it hasn't happened here because we've had good clubs.
How often is the team and you with know the why? Highest payroll in the entire game losing eight games in a row? Is this the highest payrolled Red Sox team ever, like in the history of the world? Probably. And they just lost eight in a row, Dave. Well done, buddy.
Oh, God, please talk about a completely, again, just reading you his resume while he's sitting there.
That's what it is. It's like, and he's also, it's like he's verbally readying his resume as well for the next team that maybe wants to hire him.
No, that's exactly right, Murray. Yeah. I felt the same way when I was listening to it.
We haven't had a lot of losing streaks during my time as president of the Boston Red Sox.
So let me ask both of you guys point blank, okay? I'm not asking you whether you would fire Dombrowski, because if Murray, I think you would, and I think Marshall would. The question is, does he deserve it? Does he deserve it? Does he deserve to be fired?
Well, that's where I think if you're being fair, you can make a case for him not to, because he's basically come as advertised. This is what he did with Detroit and with the Marlins. And, while he didn't really do anything with the farm system and helped gut it, he traded away some of these players so you could get a Chris Sale, and he did what he needed to do in terms of taking the owner's checkbook and signing a guy like David Price when he first got here. This is what he had done before. This is what he did again. So they shouldn't really be surprised the way that things have turned out with Dave Dombrowski, because he's come as advertised.
Marshall?
While I don't fundamentally disagree with anything he just said, yes, he should be fired, because at this point, he won that World Series, but now it's time to do something else with this team. It's not time to sign every big free agent. It's not time to trade away all your prospects. This team now needs something different, and it's something he doesn't do well. Plus, we've learned he's an arrogant ass. So, yes, I think it's time to go ahead and fire him and let him go deplete somebody else's team.
Okay, but whether or not he's the right man for the job going forward, and I agree with you, Marshall, he's not. Okay, he's not. Does he deserve it?
Yes. Yes. Look
no,
at this
no,
team.
He doesn't.
He does.
No, he doesn't.
What did he do since this team won a World Series to make this team competitive this year?
Marshall, what has Alex Cora done? Does he deserve to get fired too?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's been here less time.
Yeah, but you just said, what's he done since the World Series?
Well, Alex Cora can't sign free agents. Alex Cora can't make trades. And what this team needed more than anything this offseason was a differently built team. I think history tells us, again, across all sports, that just returning the exact same team that just won a championship, that doesn't work. You can't just say, well, that team won, let's bring it back en masse and just we'll do it again. You can't do that. And that's what he did. He was lazy. He did nothing. He watched two of his bullpen arms leave. And I'm not advocating that you needed to bring Kimbrel and Kelly back, but you needed to replace them with something somewhere. And bringing Steve Pierce back and bringing Nate Eovaldi back. Like, you did absolutely nothing to change this team. And then you did nothing to fix it in April, May, or June, or July, when you saw that what you did bring back wasn't working. So what has he done? I mean, literally, what has he done since acquiring, I don't know, what was the second baseman he got? Was that the last trade?
Ian Kinsler.
Since acquiring Ian Kinsler, what exactly has Dave Dombrowski done? He re-signed two guys he already had.
Okay,
that
so
is
look,
it. That's
yeah.
all he's done.
So again, but everybody has a bad year, Marshall. Everyone has a bad year. I mean, Theo had bad years. They didn't fire him, right? So the question is, do you take the body of work? Here's the one thing I worry about. They won the World Series in 2013. Ben Cherington was gone a year and a half later. They won the World Series in 2018. Now, 2019's not even over yet, and it feels like Dombrowski's out the door. If you're an accomplished GM, and Dombrowski was when he came here, would you work for these guys? Like, would you look at it and say...
No, I think you look at it and say, oh, well, I mean, there's still the prestige because it's the Boston Red Sox. It's one of the marquee teams in Major League Baseball. But you also have to be realistic and say, well, I probably got a pretty short leash here. this isn't a job you're going to have for 10 years.
Well, so look, and Shaughnessy touched on this last night again when we had him on the baseball reporters, that would the Red Sox bring Theo back? Yeah, he thinks that they could get past the, you know, the personal elements that were in that breakup following 2012 and how that thing or 2011 and how that thing deteriorated. He thinks they could get past that. He's not sure if Theo could. So I don't know, if you're Theo and you're with the Cubs, you're sitting there looking at it going, wait a minute. Ben won. Now, say whatever you want about 2014 and then 2015. Ben won and you fired him within a year and a half. And then you brought Dombrowski in. He won three straight divisions and in the third year won a World Series. The next year, your starting pitchers went in the tank and now you're getting rid of the GM again? So the last two times your GM won the World Series, he was gone within 18 months. Why would I come work there when even if I win, I'm not guaranteed of anything? That is one thing I would worry about if I were John Henry. That said, I'm okay with getting rid of Dombrowski. I'm not screaming for his firing. I'm taking the sitting on the fence here, Jimmy, which we're getting good at in this chair.
That's what you got to do in that.
It's a chair. It's not that hard. Like, opinions are not that hard. For some reason, that chair, it's like, wow, like you just can't have opinions.
Remember when it used to be the a-hole chair?
Now it's the vanilla chair.
It really is, though. Yeah,
now it's the facilitation chair.
The Adam Kaufman Memorial Chair. The white bread chair. That's what it is. We sit here and sit right on the right in the middle and have no take whatsoever.
No. His opinions just sucked.
So ultimately, here's why I wouldn't stand in the way of Dombrowski getting fired. I don't think he's great. I think he's overrated. He's not what I thought he was when he came here. And so is he a capable GM? Sure. Yeah. The Red Sox deserve more than a capable GM. They should have more than a capable GM. They should have one of the five best GMs in the game, maybe one of the three best GMs in the game. They should have a guy that is like a titan in his industry. That's what the Red Sox should have as general manager, and I don't think Dave Dombrowski is it. Boy, did I take the cheese on that one. 617, I'll tell you what, let's squeeze in a couple of calls, and then we'll take a break. Steve's in
Maine. By couple, you mean singular.
Steve, what do you got?
Oh, I'm going to actually, you guys have already said most of what I was going to tell you or say, but yeah, Dombrowski.
Okay. If we already said it, then I'm going to let you go. Tony's in Stoneham. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing? Absolutely. And 100% I get rid of him and I do whatever I can to get the guy back from the Cubs. There's a guy that is a rookie, basically.
Tony, take Theo out of it because we'd all make that trade. You don't know what you're going to get as GM. Do you get rid of Dombrowski?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because I think they just threw in the towel this year right from the get-go. We got this pitcher, as you said, that lost four out of five games, who has done nothing. He did nothing for helping us in the relief pitching this year. And he's done nothing during the year to help us.
Okay, so look, I'm going to let you go just because we're up against it. Dombrowski's not at the top of the list. If you ask me, does he deserve to be fired, my answer would be no.
No, the reason for this failed season is on the players more than anybody else. He's negligent in terms of, you know, not addressing the bullpen going into the season. Yeah, he deserves blame there. But for how this thing has turned out, especially the last couple of months, that's on the players. And that's the one worry of firing this guy. Like, if you're going to sort of still have the same nucleus here and say you don't really change all that much in the winter, don't you just embolden some of these babies?
Totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, that is a concern. I admit that.
Except he's the one who changed nothing this last winter. I'm going to bet a new GM would change things.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think that's part of the reason they want to make a change. We'll wrap it up with your Red Sox calls when we come back.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Really, I've been through this how many trading deadlines? 31 as a general manager, and I've never really had an effect on a negative basis whatsoever. Now, I understand from a club's perspective, you're always want, you know, you want what you can get. But it's a situation where the reality is that rarely do you make that deal to put you over the hump. It usually doesn't make that big of a difference. Maybe it gives you a little bit of an edge. But the reality is I've never seen a real streak based upon you making the deal there or not. All of a sudden you go on a real long winning streak or a long losing streak. No, I don't think. And if it is, you got to kind of self-examine that and say, if that's the difference, then we're really kind of in trouble.
So that one pissed me off too. Dombrowski minimizing trade deadline deals. They're really not that important. Well, then what the hell are you even picking up the phone for? Like, you're telling me that 2004 trading Nomar away didn't make a difference? Of course it did. Minkiewicz, Cabrera made a huge difference. The Red Sox changed overnight. In the second half of that season, they were a wagon. From August 15th on, they ripped it up. Ripped it up, for crying out loud. Again, this guy's like, some of the stuff he spews is really asinine. We'll zip through your Dombrowski calls here, and we'll get back to Brady at the top of the hour. Greg's in New York. Greg, quickly.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I do believe that we should let Dombrowski go. He's a one-trick pony. He has one formula, spent a lot of money, the club's money, and then he's always got the weakness in the bullpen. He sounds like a dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, he's talking to people like they're children.
So, great. Yeah, I'm not sure he's dumb. I just don't think he's special. Like, again, Murray, I look at it and say, what makes him unique? Again, the deals he makes, he trades away other people's prospects. He goes for the established talent all the time, and he signs big-name free agents. Well, can't anybody do that?
Yeah. No, and that's why, ultimately, he's been overrated, but this is what he did everywhere else. I don't know. He's just polished, and he talks down to people. I think that's one of the reasons that people look at him like, this guy's kind of an a-hole. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I think he's a stuffed shirt. Leo's in a car. Leo, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, I've been following baseball since the 51 Giants. The guy that screwed up here is John Henry, because this guy's M.O. is exactly what he's doing. He wins the championship, he destroys what he's got. But the question that I got for you, which you might think about, is take a look at the draft. This guy's drafted for the last, 5 or 6 years?
Garbage.
He can't evaluate pitchers, we know that. What can he do as far as the draft is concerned? And if the answer is, which I suspect it is, that he doesn't know talent at all, then why hold on?
Yeah, so again, Leo, look, I think his drafts have been garbage. Maybe this kid Tristan Cassius will turn into something. I don't know, but so far, Dombrowski's drafts with the Red Sox have been awful. I think his first pick was Jay Groom. Is that right?
Yeah,
Jason Groom, the left-hander. I mean, that guy fell off the planet. I know there was an injury in there, but he was a question to begin with. Larry's in Duxbury. Quickly, Larry.
Dombrowski's not the problem. I think it's a business. They weren't going to spend more money beginning last year after they won it all. And as Murray said, the players haven't stepped up. Clearly, there was a decision not to spend more money by the trading break. I think the team basically said, even if we spend the money, we're not going to get much better. It's a business. We're not spending more money. That message comes from ownership and not as much the GM.
Okay, but again, I happen to agree with ownership on that one. They've spent enough money to win. They've spent enough to win. I get tired of the, they don't want to spend the money thing. $250 million payroll? $250 million, they don't want to spend the money? I mean, it just, at some point it gets stupid. It does, it gets ridiculous. Top of the hour here. Marshall has got your headlines, no commercials. We'll get back to some of the details Tom Curran had in the Quick Slants podcast on NBC Sports Boston.com concerning Tom Brady and his discussions with the Patriots. And when you hear these details, they are eye-opening. Here's Marshall.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.